Each failure is a step closer to success. You're listening to episode 16 of Learn With Us. I'm Ken.
And I'm Nikos. Learn With Us is a podcast that want the developers for developers that want to be better programmers or something.
Not better speakers.
Yeah, that's a podcast 20 or something like that. Yeah.
Right. All right, so let's kick things off. Today we're going to talk about scaling your company, and then later on we'll talk a little bit more technical, get into some React stuff.
Yeah, React.
So Nikos, you're kind of taking a different approach to your business endeavors. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a little bit of background as to what you had been doing in the last few months?
So I've been doing one-on-one coaching with companies and training, and so basically I'm trading time for consulting fees. But I think I can now start to leverage, you know, other developers, and I'm building a team that I can take on projects. I've already started, and basically I'm just going to be allowed to sort of duplicate myself and my practices and kind of quality work that I do, but just so that I can apply it and provide value for more clients. So right. Becoming more of a businessman, but maintaining that technical edge.
Yeah, so you're taking the skills and experience that you have in training employees or software developers at these other companies, and yeah. You're now going to kind of dog food it and train your own team and build your own software application stuff.
Yeah, pretty much. So cool. My vision is basically that you know, I'll have more people doing the work for me, but I'll oversee it and make sure that the client's getting quality, so they know that the developers that I'm working with in my team, whether it's employees or freelancers, they know that my reputation is important, and also that if they want to get repeat business from me, then they have to do a good job, and also the client knows my track record and that they want to get good work.
Right. So these people that are working with you, they are not your employees; they're contractors.
Yeah.
So how's that relationship been going so far? Is it been easy to get contractors, and like what's the retention and stuff like that?
Well, I've basically spent several years mentoring people, and this is starting to bear fruit now, so that I know them, they're actually my friends. So my first choice of contractors will be people that I know personal, the personal relationship there, and that's the kind of like family and trust kind of methodology that I want to bring to my clients. They know that they're investing into a team. And this team's going to is a team that's a cohesive unit. And it doesn't mean I can't hire, you know, other, you know, if the budget and demands there, I want to get like a rockstar developers from, you know, America or UK just on the fly. But typically, I want to have a lot of my own resources that I've grown myself, and sort of pay them well that they stay with me, you know. But I mean, one day I might get employees as well. But at the moment it's I don't really need it right now.
Okay. So when it comes time to, I mean, this is kind of getting more into the operations side of your business, but when it comes time to taking on new projects and maybe you interfacing with a client, do you bring on these contractors as like part of your onboarding process with the new project, or do you kind of keep them shielded from the client?
No, it depends what language you speak. The English developers will communicate directly with the client. If there's, you know, if the client wants, we can bring on other people in the project that don't speak English, but as long as they report to the project manager that's English speaking, that's fine with me if it's fine with the client. But for UK cool. stuff, my developer's not based in the UK at the moment. So also, it's a good model for saving costs as well. So bring good value, good developers, and sort of outsourcing model.
So there's a time zone difference. How is that when you're working with
My developers are based in Europe, so it doesn't really matter.
Oh, okay. So if there's a difference, it's not much difference?
Nah, negligible.
What kind of projects are you looking for right now?
Well, at the moment, I'm kind of like bidding for a project for basically it's turning C code into JavaScript. It's quite an advanced project, and I'm also going to be hoping to get a project with a startup, tech startup. Also hoping to get some data visualization projects in as well. So they kind of these are a lot of things are like I'm building relationships with, with potential clients, friendships, and there's no rush, you know, because sometimes it takes people years to appreciate who you are as a developer, as an entrepreneur, and then they decide to invest in some partnership. So you can have lots of things on the stove, and then eventually, you know, you gotta be ready to scale up when the work comes in.
What was the driving factor? What was like the thing that made you say I'm gonna actually start my own web development or software development company rather than continuing to do this training that you had been doing for the last year?
I just think it makes business sense, you know, to leverage yourself. Because if you're doing all the work by yourself, there's only so much you can do. But if you just put in that extra, you know, if you switch 30% of your dev time into making a more scalable business, then it's actually a very good investment in your time. You can still remain a developer, but you're just doing more.
Would you say you're more focused on having a value proposition rather than trading hours for money?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
You get to your mid-30s, it's you kind of want to just scale up a little bit more. You've got enough experience, right. You feel you can just accomplish more by scaling up, leveraging, you know. That's why I got into public speaking as well.
Right. And then you get to spend more time traveling when you do public speaking as well, which you could do outside of public speaking. However, you couldn't make a living necessarily.
Depends what kind of level you're at as a public speaker. Some people certainly can become professional public speakers. But you need to be able to commanding audiences of 100 plus regularly.
You can aspire to that.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, what else do you want to talk about with that?
It's exciting. I just feel it's natural for me at the moment, because you can get to a certain point and just doing JavaScript and web development where you're not learning too much extra, because eventually switching from Ember to React and Vanilla, all you're doing really is moving stuff on the screen and getting stuff from databases. You're not doing anything that you once you stop learning. I'm not saying I know everything at web development, but once you get to that point where what more can you learn, it just seems like a natural progression.
So what would you say the challenges are that you faced so far in building this company?
You just have to watch. If you want to build it from scratch and mentor people, it takes time. You have to be patient with your developers, and you have to make sure that they're ready, because otherwise you don't want to damage the client. So what you can do is you can basically put these developers on projects where you're making a loss or just breaking even, just to get them upskilled. And then you can start working on profit margins.
Now, do you approach that that learning period with the developer, saying, "Hey, I understand that you're getting your feet wet, or you're going to be building up this these skills." So, how did you kind of put like a roadmap in front of them as to like what skills I want you to learn first, and
you gotta let them learn at their own time. Sometimes it's hard for them to see the value of doing these things, but you just gotta be it's like raising children. You just gotta keep giving them information. Eventually it'll click. And you gotta be thinking years ahead, like the Chinese do. They think decades ahead. But it's like for my coding club I have in London, there's developers that are learning there, and they might not be ready to work for me in 4 years, but when they're ready, I'm basically their father who they're going to come to for work, you know, because you know, I've seen them grow over the years, and they'll be my future UK developers, hopefully.
Yeah, that's kind of cool how you're cultivating a team, even though they're not going to be your developers today, they might be down the road.
Sure.
So building those connections is important to your business.
Yeah. And the more they succeed, the better. You know, if I train a developer, and he becomes, you know, a millionaire, much more richer than me, I'll be happy for him. You know.
Yeah.
I'll be rooting for him all the way.
And then you won't be asking for some handouts at the end?
Well, you can always give me some referrals or something like that. I'm sure there'll be a mutual benefit there. So at the moment, I'm just chilling out with my parents up in Port Patrick. Went for a walk today on the rocks, and I didn't realise how slippy the rocks were. And my dad's like, he said something about slippy rocks. I'm like, what does my dad know? You know, so I'm walking in there and I slipped. And thankfully, I managed to catch the rocks with my two palms and save myself getting injured. And I just realised how sore my wrist was when I sat down in here.
Oh, always listen to your father.
Yeah, I guess having a business is nice. That you can spend some more time with family, you know, and friends as well. It's, I think if you know the kind of economic model where you're working 5 days a week, trading time for money is just, I just don't, it doesn't really fit me for the rest of my life. I want to be able to, you know, to be my own boss completely.
Do you feel like you're always in sales mode though? I mean, as far as like when I did my own business, I always felt like I was in sales mode. Even when I was like off the clock, I felt like I've got to turn the next 24 hours. I have to turn it into some sort of sales pitch and get some money coming in. Do you feel like that at all?
Not that much, because when I first started doing the contracting, there was like almost a year and a half of regular work. So I had quite a large war chest, and the last I then spent about 6 months developing training material, and only then I was really looking for a job. And I find that a lot of the, I don't really do say, I've done a bit of sales for training, but it's not really feels like cold calling. It's not really me. So a lot of the newer contracts I'm getting, it's all to do with relationship. The first meeting was nothing to do with business, and then people come along and say, hey, we need this project, then we start with the client. Yeah, so I guess you're always selling, but it doesn't have to look like you're selling, you know.
Right. What's that line? Always be closing.
Yeah.
you ever watched Glengarry Glen Ross?
No, I haven't. No.
Oh, you got to check that movie out. It's a good movie.
I've heard that phrase. Always be closing.
I won't get into it, but yeah, ABC. Always be closing. Cool.
I think business made out of friendships just a lot more fun as well.
Right, and you have a common language.
Yeah. So how are you doing, my friend?
Oh, I am hanging in there. You know what? I was really, really taken back by your last episode that you recorded without me. So you did an excellent job. So anybody who's listening that did not listen to our last episode, go back and give it a listen. It was with Juho. I don't know his last name, but
Juho Vipsalainen.
Yeah, you got it.
I think last time I was saying Juho.
Right. Great interview. Good content. If you're interested in learning about Webpack, it's good stuff. So take a listen. I was like I said, really impressed with that interview. Really got me thinking about how we as software developers, we need to give back to the community, give back to open source. If we can't give dollars, give our time. Yep. I think we could all do a little bit more for the open source community.
I just released a major update to my test recorder. So there's now some Travis tests, which don't pass. Nice. Because Travis is doing some funky stuff.
Yeah,
but they pass locally, which is all that matters.
So I've been really struggling with my, I haven't touched it in a month or so, but my my Visual Studio Code extension, trying to write tests for it, it's really challenging. But you go and you look at the like the big players in the Visual Studio Code extension marketplace, and you see like, oh, Git Lens, which is probably like one of the most popular extensions, the developer has zero tests in his code. So I guess I shouldn't feel bad that I don't have tests, but it doesn't feel good. I have 17% code coverage, and that 17% came from one unit test. So
okay. And the extension, have you ever is it JavaScript?
Coveralls? Oh yeah, the extension is TypeScript.
Right.
So it uses a Mocha test runner that's built into Visual Studio Code's runtime. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how it works, but I want to be able to test end-to-end testing. You know, I want to be able to mock these requests to GitHub and fake a user click on a button, fake a user typing into the input box, all that stuff. But I don't quite understand how to do that.
I could show you on, I could do a pairing session with you and show you how to use Nightwatch.
Yeah, but this is inside Visual Studio Code, so it's not a browser.
Right.
So, ouch. That's the challenge.
Jeez, man.
So I haven't found any really good examples. So if anybody listening is a Visual Studio Code extension developer, hit me up, Ken Howard, PDX.
Yeah, if you can help Twitter. Ken will send you 10 bitcoins.
That's ridiculous. I will not send you 10 bitcoins. I have zero ownership in cryptocurrency.
No, what I should do, I should start up a psychology clinic for people that knew about Bitcoin when it was $1, like myself.
Yeah,
we can go there.
That would be great. You could vent like, I didn't buy. I'm kicking myself.
And then we're like the technical people.
I heard of a coworker had bought Bitcoin when it hit that rise a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. when it was on at the peak of its value, and then it dropped like $1,500 from the moment he got it.
Yeah.
So he lost money.
Yeah, I might buy into IOTA. IOTA, Microsoft, 6 days ago announced partnership with that currency. It's supposed to be quantum computer hacking proof. And it's zero transaction fees and very fast time to transact. So basically these bitcoins and stuff, the protocol need to be changed to make them proof from quantum computer attacks.
So I'm kind of curious as to like the practicality of Bitcoin or cryptocurrency, especially because the time it takes like 24 hours for that to release, right? Once you try to transaction, it takes like 24 hours for the transaction to complete. Really?
Sheesh, didn't know that.
I think that might be a limit of Bitcoin. It might not be for all cryptocurrencies. What do you actually buy with it? Or is it just for trading between individuals?
Well, lots of providers use Bitcoin. I mean, I used it for... I would do just in time buying. I would buy some Bitcoin and then use it to buy something that I couldn't get without the Bitcoin. I'm not talking about drugs here. Not drugs. So there's a website called purse.io, and you can, if you have, how does it work again? You can sell, you can ask people to buy you stuff on Amazon, and when they buy you it, you send them Bitcoins. And you save like 20% off the Amazon price.
Oh wow!
So that's got to be on the up and up. 2 years now. So I must
that's
have.
not that's not shady though, right?
No, I mean I must have bought like 2 or 3 bitcoins worth of stuff, but you know, but that's when the bitcoin price was like $600. I wish I never bought all that Amazon junk. Just left the bitcoins in there, man. I don't know what I was thinking. I was when I first heard about Bitcoin. I think I was 26 or something like that, and I was listening to Security Now podcast by Steve Gibson, and they're talking about Bitcoin. And I'm in the kitchen listening to it. I'm thinking, oh, Bitcoin, Bitcoin. And I just thought, what a waste of money. A dollar for that? No. And I tried to mine some Bitcoins about maybe 6 months later. Fired up my hard drive. I think I ran it for 2 hours and then I gave up because I thought, I'm wasting electricity.
Oh, Security Now is a twit. I see. I thought I'd heard of that name before.
Yeah, Security Now is Leo an amazing Laporte. Podcast. Yeah, they're the guys that introduced me to Bitcoin. 2011.
Yeah. 2011.
I hope Steve Gibson bought a bunch of
them. Time flies.
Yeah, so everybody out there who's regretting or feeling silly for not buying Bitcoin, you're in good company.
Right. I have no idea what it's about, and I'm just... ignorance is bliss, right?
Absolutely.
So hey, what have you been doing with React these days? You've been toying around with TypeScript?
Yeah, I've just been doing like bread and butter Redux stuff for client, you know, and but I'm using TypeScript, which adds a lot of frustration on top of your development experience, but a lot of type safety as well, because the errors you get when you apply TypeScript to a Redux components, they're kind of really hard to debug sometimes. You know, that's like this component's intrinsic attributes of not type element and React component and generic, and it's kind of they need to improve.
You need to pull out your pocket dictionary and decipher that code.
You need a PhD in generics to understand some of these type errors.
Decoder ring.
Yeah.
So what's the JSX story like? I've heard it's really good with TypeScript.
Yeah, I mean JSX, TSX is pretty much the same thing, except you have the normal TypeScript types within it. There's not really much difference. JSX takes a while to get the hang of because it's JavaScript, but it's got a little bit of like syntax things that you got to be aware of. Like there's like if you want to return an array of elements, then you wrap them in an array, and the conditionals are a bit funny. You can't use if statements within JSX. You got to use like ternaries all over the place. You can use and-ands a lot.
Oh, really?
If you want any logic within JSX, you have to wrap it in curly braces. It takes a
couple
of
weeks.
So
is the benefit kind of JSX just to have your HTML or components alongside your JavaScript? Is that the main benefit? But there's some downsides too, which is like you have to have these conditional wrappers around your templates maybe? Rather than having these ternaries in your templates?
I didn't quite get you.
Maybe I don't quite understand the workflow in React yet, so this question might not make sense.
I think it's just me being late and being all night looking at cryptocurrencies, looking at charts.
Watching all of the zeros go by on the cryptocurrency.
Yeah, I was also debating on a politics religion server again for another 2 or 3 hours, which was kind of does things to you.
Oh, I'm going to make a quick comment and then I'll get back to what I was going to say.
Yeah.
So a lot of times that this goes to anybody out there that's involved in social networks or social media, be that Facebook, Twitter, or this politics thing that you're involved in. But if it doesn't provide you any sort of value, benefit, doesn't make you feel good, then you should probably not do it. If you're aggressive and you're feeling angry and agitated whenever you're in that moment, take a step back, take a deep breath. You might just have to leave that forum or that discussion, and you don't always have to be right. A lot of times I end up in this place where I just don't feel good, and it will be after the conversation's passed. I might have gotten my point across. I might have said the right thing to convince somebody, but I feel agitated, and I just feel gross.
Yeah.
So if you're a type of person like me that can't easily drop a subject, then maybe you should stay away from those type of interactions.
Sounds good to me.
Which I do. I do. I stay away from Facebook mostly. I do join Twitter, but I don't necessarily engage in a whole lot of conversation. I'm mostly one of those creepers that just reads a bunch of stuff.
at least you're making good use of your time.
Yeah. Okay. So what I was trying to say about this TypeScript React thing was, maybe it was more of a question about React and JSX. Is there a benefit of having JSX being that you can have your HTML or your component code mixed in with your JavaScript?
Sure.
Is there also a trade-off of, like, you have to use these ternaries inside of that to make logic trade-offs?
Yeah.
So, like, you can't have clean HTML necessarily because of these logic differences that you have to make inside of your component. So it's...
Yeah, I mean, the way I like it, the nice thing is you can actually wrap certain JSX into functions, so you can split things up probably quite nicely.
Mm-hmm. That was my other question was, can I have like this kind of componentized component that's specific to one component, so it'll only ever render... It could render three different variations of one component based on maybe a prop value or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to get into React soon.
Great.
I bought a course. I'm hoping to take it, but it's actually finding the time or making the time for it. That's hard. So,
I was teaching React to one of my mentees on Saturday, and I taught him for about an hour and a half. I'm not kidding. I must have increased his market value by about $10,000 a year.
That's great. That's great.
I made sure he bought me lots of coffee and stuff, though. I'm still doing it for free.
It's free with the price of coffee.
Yeah, and the scrambled eggs.
All right, man. Well, I think we've reached the end of our show.
Yep.
And it was great talking to you.
Yeah,
and
you too, Ken.
I hope everybody listening enjoyed what we had to say, whether or not it made sense.
Making sense is the bonus.
Nikos, where can people find us on the web?
You can go to learnwithus.simplecast.fm, or you can also find us on iTunes. Learn With Us Pod, I think, isn't it?
On Twitter, we're Learn With Us Pod.
Right, right.
On iTunes, just search for Learn With Us. And if you want to subscribe to get future episodes in your ears, please do. And if you want to leave us a iTunes review, please only leave us 5 stars.
Yes.
I don't even know how many people have left us a review.
I have.
If you've left us a review on iTunes, please tweet at us on Twitter.
Yeah.
So that we know. Because, yeah, it won't let me look at reviews until after we've hit a certain threshold.
Yeah. If you write a review, we'll read out your review on the air if you like. How about that?
Yeah. So it better not shame us.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well, it was great. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks again. Bye. See you guys.